Rickleblog, 31 May 2007. Take that, ARRL. Warning. This is going to be one of those unabashedly nerdy blog items that I occasionally commit. The subject, frequency measurement, is simultaneously tedious and irrelevant, and it embodies the charm of license plate spotting while stuck in a 10-mile traffic jam. I shall attempt to enliven this at the very end with a linguistic observation, if I remember to, but this is almost certainly doomed to failure, interest-wise. The ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, is and has been, since the beginning of ham radio, the umbrella organization for its practitioners. A very large percentage of us join, although we are under no obligation to do so, and its magazine, the engagingly titled QST, is an important historical and technical journal in our radio lives. The ARRL sponsors various activities and promulgates the rules and dates in QST. For example, Field Day is coming up, at which time hams will leave their comfortable homes to erect antennas in public parks, farm fields, and mountaintops, and attempt to contact others so situated over the radio. One major contributor to the nonprofit ARRL is the Mosquito Repellent Manufacturers Association. The majority of ARRL-sponsored activities could be considered social in the sense that, as does Field Day, they involve a bunch of hams getting together to do something. Others are social in the sense that the goal for hams is to contact each other on the radio and exchange information. But one activity is both solitary and nerdish, the frequency measuring test. In the FMT, the ARRL uses its headquarters radio station W1AW to transmit signals at several different frequencies in the amateur radio bands, and it is up to the entrants to measure the frequencies as precisely as they are able to. For example, the contest announcement may say that W1AW will be transmitting on approximately 1853, 3586, and 7039 kilohertz. The mission would be to refine that to 1853.059.2 hertz, etc. In order to do this, you have to have a number of capabilities. You have to find the signal with your receiver. Although this is usually easy, you must contend with band conditions and weak signals, not to mention possible interference from other users who share the frequency. You have to identify the signal. They identify in Morse code, so if you don't speak Morse, you might pick the wrong signal. You have to measure the frequency of the signal as precisely as possible. Depending on your equipment, which you have hopefully recently calibrated, you might be limited to measuring to the nearest 100 or 10 hertz. It actually takes a bit of precision work to get to the nearest hertz and fraction thereof. A hertz is just a cycle per second in new clothes. An AM broadcast station, e.g. 1010 Winds, transmits on 1010000 hertz. Needless to say, the FMT is one of my favorite ham and nerd activities. I can sit, alone of course, amongst the glowing lights and screens of my test equipment and reduce hours of effort and kilobucks of hardware to three or four precise numbers, each of which agrees closely with its counterpart number measured at ARRL headquarters over 100 miles from here. What's not to enjoy? But the best part of the FMT for me was that I was able to prove the ARRL wrong in one of their assumptions about the contest. There is no greater nerd satisfaction than doing something that you were told can't be done. My joy was ameliorated to some extent in that I think the can't be done assertion wasn't well thought out. In early announcements of the FMT in QST, ARRL asserted that accuracies greater than 1 ppm weren't possible. Ha! 1 ppm is 1 hertz per megahertz. For example, it's impossible to measure the 7039 frequency to better than 7 hertz. Did I mention ha? This surprised me when I saw it, and in later years they dropped the claim. I'd like to feel that I contributed to their change of theory. To some extent, the accuracy of measurements depends on how strong and clear the transmitted signals are. 2003 was my best result by far. Clear signals and a bit of luck in that I didn't have rounding errors count against me. What happened in 2004 and 2005? For whatever reason, in 2004, I was unable to hear the signals they were transmitting. Conditions were extremely poor. 2005, I forgot. 2006 was a somewhat embarrassing performance. The 7 MHz signal was very hard to hear and to measure. Note that this year they didn't use higher frequencies in which rounding errors count for less. As you can see from the results, the very worst result was 0.26 ppm, and most were 0.1 ppm or much better. As an aside, I ran an experiment some years ago where I measured the frequency of WWV, the National Institute of Standards and Technology station. NIST was previously NBS, the National Bureau of Standards, and their station, WWV, is the definition of frequency both by law and by technology. So when you measure its frequency, you're really testing your equipment and the radio propagation path. During my experiment, I could see their signal change by about plus or minus 1 hertz every day as the ionosphere changed its characteristics from day to night and back again. If I only measured at 1 hertz, which would be 0.1 ppm change, over a 1,500-plus mile path, you can see why I was confident of doing better with the much shorter distance to the AORL transmitter. I have about a year's worth of WWV data from two locations. If you think this blog item is tedious already, imagine how much fun you'd have reading about that. I'm saving it for publication if I ever decide to join academia. In summary, then, to the AORL, I say,
neener, neener.
I would in just the recent past have said, nya, nya. But apparently, neener has replaced nya as the childhood epithet of derision. I'm not sure how this happened, although I think my first neener sighting was in a Dave Barry column long ago, and it has the benefit of being phonetically easier to digest. Or it could be a regional thing. Both I and the AORL are in the Northeast, so maybe nya, nya is more appropriate. Take that. Now playing the dance, Poco.